On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Something new from Google that's good.
Quote, yeet. Elon's pulling some of the favorite features from the X timeline.
Location, location, location. Exclusion changes are coming to Google Ads.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld.
AKA Shop.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on March 15th, 2024.
And before we get into all of the digital marketing news of the week, what is happening with you, Shop?
These captchas are getting crazy. We just rebuilt our website. Shout out the beautiful new cypressnorth.com. So I got logged out for some reason. I had to get back in. Three failed login attempts. It asks me to please click on all the objects that do not need electricity to work. And it has like a close-up of a light bulb, a PlayStation controller, a vending machine on Mars, two unidentifiable AI-generated images. I don't really know what they are. And then two pandas, both with vision impairment.
What? And there's a panda.
Look at the
top.
Panda up top.
Are they
has
trying
nothing
to
do with anything.
I don't know.
Like, I think so.
How did we
or
get
maybe
here?
It's a hint.
But then,
it's a
like,
hint.
Not the pandas are the not even the most ridiculous part of this. If you look at it, there's an Xbox controller, and I don't see a wire out of it.
But it requires a battery.
You have to charge an electronic.
Trying to trick you. Isn't there electricity in the battery? Isn't that how batteries work?
I don't
work?
Think most people consider a battery-powered item using electricity to power this.
I
don't
think you like
it goes on your electricity bill when I use a remote. No.
No, but neither do my pandas.
But these pandas are like wild.
I failed it, and that must be why I did. Click the controller. Then there's another one. Select all items that are small enough to be carried in a backpack. Multiple pianos, a treadmill, two heads of cabbage at different angles, and a boat.
And the hint is flour. These are definitely hints.
This one,
right?
At least I think you could get.
I don't know.
Cabbage can be a lot of different sizes.
There's nothing in that image to give us any scale. It's
also,
just cabbage.
Look at that middle treadmill. It's got like a very extended arm. It's like AI or something. Like
oh,
AI
I just
fingers.
Thought that was the wall.
I
like
don't
trim
know how
on the
we
wall.
Got here.
Wait, look at this
so did
one.
You pass
that I
this
got.
One?
I passed the second one, and I swear, next time I think I'm going to log in, it's going to be like select which image is your actual child and which one is AI generated.
That would be really creepy.
It's too much.
Yeah. I got one about select what could like sustain you with food or drink or something. It had like really weird wording, and there were a bunch of cups
what?
And bicycles. But then I got this. Click on the item that deviates from the set. And this one doesn't have a hint. And there's two watermelons, an orange, a group of strawberries, a regular strawberry, and a wolf. And I obviously clicked the wolf in reality. But the answer to me is orange because everything else is in the same color family. Even the wolf has pink on him.
This is like a standardized test for a first grader.
I had so much. Like, this was the prettiest thing I've ever seen. I would print this and put it on my wall. I love it. This was fun.
These are wild times we're living in. So you still think it's fun even when they're getting this challenging?
This is even okay. More fun
no.
Than finding all the bicycles. Yes. I this mean, is way more fun. This is more challenging.
Trying to gauge the size of a head of cabbage and I feel like you could get it into your Gen Sport. Like, that's kind of cool.
It is cool. It's way cooler than streetlights. You know?
Very annoying.
Anyway.
I think not.
All right. First up in the news this week. Elon Musk says that X will soon remove the like, the repost, and reply buttons in stream. And Doge Designer at @CB_Doge on X says that this was happening, and Elon confirmed it with a reply saying that is definitely happening. Just a view count as proxy for the other metrics will show on the timeline. This. I feel like I live in a different reality sometimes. Like I just do. Why would you go spend every dime of your money to buy this platform just to rename it X, pick out a logo that is literally a typeface, make a video that you found and like theme forest or whatever, and then take like the good parts of it and strip it out. I like seeing how much like how many likes something gets.
Mm-hmm.
I like
it works so well for YouTube though.
Yeah, like Gil Gildner had a great X tweet today, and I just hit the quote button right from it, put a clown face on it, and I X'd it out. Now it's you're gonna have to do multiple things. It's so annoying. Like, what are you thinking with that? Like,
yeah, so you can't even just click right into the replies even to read them if that's gone. Right?
I don't know.
That's more than half the content. But
like that's always
funny. That's where we get our news.
You see something awful X'd out or like just stupid, and then you like look at the quote retweets or whatever you want to call them.
And you can't do that if these are gone, I assume, without clicking
into it? At least from
the
timeline. So maybe you can go to the button or the time, get to that specific tweet X, and then from there – do it.
No one's gonna do that.
I just really don't get what the point would be.
Yeah, who is this benefiting? How does this,
they want people clicking more?
Don't you want more interactions if you're a social media company?
Yep.
I don't know. I would think so.
I don't know.
I'm very confused.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like he makes really good things. Like, oh, let's do not only audio chat, let's do video chat with everybody using your handle. That's cool. And then you're like, oh, we're gonna get rid of everything that people like.
Literally and figuratively.
Wild.
From our ads liaison, Ginny Marvin. Ginny writes, announcing Meridian, a new open source MMM, marketing mix model. MMMs used to be complex, cumbersome, and out of reach for many businesses. Fortunately, they are becoming much more accessible and just in time as observable data is on the decline with privacy changes and customer journeys are increasingly complex. MMMs can provide privacy friendly, robust cross-channel media insights to inform your planning and budgeting across channels. Thank you for that news. If you're not familiar with the term, MMMs are a statistical analysis to help measure holistic impact of cross-channel marketing on key outcomes like sales. So they're kind of like attribution models, but a little bit more zoomed out and predictive versus just looking at clicks and interactions. So the cool thing about this is that it is open source, so you can build on it, play with it, make it more useful for you. Ginny went on to say it's launching with three methodologies, better video measurement by modeling YouTube reach and frequency, improved lower funnel measurement by accounting for indexed Google query volume data, and calibration for greater MMM accuracy by integrating incrementality experiments across channels, which that third one's a big deal. So I read a couple articles about MMMs to get a little more familiar, and I guess that was one of the gripes about them before was that they don't really look at incrementality, so this could be a good thing. It's in closed beta at the moment. They're planning to open it up globally soon. We don't know what that means, but that's the word they used. If you're interested and want to sign up now, there is a link to get in the article that Ginny shared. So more insights coming to marketers could be really cool, prove value, hopefully to all the things that you're doing. So more to come on Meridian.
I have something that I don't think is really cool. From user PPC Sauce on X, this person or dog posted the photo is a dog. Anyone else getting this with location exclusions today? And there's a screenshot. This person is adding a bunch of location exclusions to a campaign, and it says in red text, the number of entities exceeds the limit. So this then turned into an article on Search Engine Land, and there were quotes from Ginny Marvin that she posted on X, but I actually couldn't find the tweets because I find it so confusing to like go through threads on X. Is it a me problem? I don't know.
It's yeah.
But in the article, it says, quote, you will see this notification if you try to add more than approximately 120 country level location exclusions. The aim is to simplify location targeting workflows, and we recommend using positive geographic targeting instead. Then it went on to say, there's no need to exclude areas that you haven't already targeted. Your ads won't be shown in places unless you explicitly target them.
We've seen that to not be true, correct?
I have a lot. Number one, please tell that to my client who sent me an email asking why there were form submissions coming from the Middle East for a campaign that was targeting the US and Canada.
Thank you.
Like 2 weeks ago. That is not true. That is not true. You can look in your settings and see is it isn't true. The options for location targeting are presence or interest, people in regularly in or who have shown interest in your targeted locations, or presence, people in or regularly in. There's no option for true presence. And guess which one is the default? It's presence or interest. And most people don't even know it's in there. So their ads are going to show in the Middle East. That is not true. How can they just say that?
Because they don't remember all these changes that have been made, just like the rest of us don't. It used to work that way. There used to be an option just to target where people were. And I really don't remember having to exclude countries before.
No.
Recently.
And this is starting to feel really personal because we're making an initiative here to make some marketing tutorials, try to help people get some more viewers on the show. I posted an episode. It went up, I swear, last week. Location targeting settings. And I had a little part about how even if you use presence, you can still get impressions anywhere. Here, I have a list for everyone that we can all share. And I shared a Google sheet with every country in the world besides Syria and the one North Korea, I think, because you can't target them in Google Ads. Yeah. So they're not on the list. A week later, this is happening every time I post a tutorial. It's incorrect the next week.
You should post a tutorial about something you don't want anymore.
Oh, yes.
Then they'll get rid of it.
Yeah.
Don't tell them. What were you going to say?
You say keywords are gone.
No.
They're gone.
Don't do that. Oh, then they'll come back.
Then they'll come back.
Got it.
And there's 219 countries on that list. So now I had a meeting with a client last week who was like, let me look at the list and tell you which countries, if I can only get 120, I want to make sure we exclude it. That is, and that's supposedly simpler.
We should not
That's
have to
simpler
do that.
For advertisers. Mm-hmm. I'm stunned.
Yeah, you're just cutting the number in half. You're still doing the same work.
Why?
It doesn't simplify anything.
There's no, like, damage to making it be 219.
No.
It already was.
You did more work to cut it down to 120.
It's the same thing with the changes we talked about last week. Like, you're just giving us things nobody asked for and pretending we asked for it. Who would ever ask for this? And just to say, Jenny went on vacation this week, and I'm happy for her. Because I would go on vacation after this was announced, too. I'm sure she had nothing to do with it.
Do you think her plane landed in the destination that she asked for? Or
it was
somewhere that
after.
Is, like, interested, close to where she was trying to go?
It was a couple days after, but I was like, good for you, Jenny. You shouldn't have to clean up all these messes all the time. I just cannot believe, like, how are they even going to pretend that this is simpler for advertisers to have to pick and choose 120 exclusions? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Then I replied to Jenny because I don't know, for our existing campaigns, do we need to do something? Like, if they already have 219, I didn't get a warning. Do I need to take some off? I don't know.
Leave them.
What'd she say?
She's on vacation. I'll get an answer as soon as she's back at her desk.
Can I just read a little snippet of an article here for you?
Okay.
This is just an article I found. Google has been rolling out simplified, quote, location reports in the Google Ads UI over the past month or so. Anytime a platform uses, quote, simplified or, quote, streamlined to describe a change, we have to wonder if it's a red herring. Does it provide an easier way to get us at the same access, data, and functionality? Or is it, quote, simplified, wink, wink, with features and data stripped out?
Exactly. Who wrote those wise words?
That was Jenny Marvin on Search Engine Land from October 2020.
I know. I'm telling you, she doesn't want to be a part of this.
No, she doesn't. She's on vacation. It makes no sense to say, I'm going to go implement this change, take all this work to make things less effective.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to spend more.
Also, another note here, Julie Baccini tweeted about it from her at Neptune Moon account, and she asked if there's similar limits at the region, state, city, town, or postal code coming. And Ginny said, this is at the country level, period. So I feel like that's not a promise for the future. And then she also added that if this is negatively impacting anyone, please DM her. So I will be
DMing. She's going to have an inbox full.
She is trying. Like, she's not. She's listening.
T's and P's to that inbox.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you.
We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's Take of the Week comes from Sam Tomlinson at Digital Sam Am on X and Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail on X. Sam said, apropos of nothing, if you're going to use any of the following, quote, studies to justify cutting ad spend, 1, eBay, 2, Airbnb, 3, Chase, please also disclose that each of those brands is or was a category leader, RIP eBay, and two of them were Verbs, and the other is a too big to fail bank. Two of them have zero need to advertise. Thinking a random SMB has anywhere near the cachet and market power is delusional. Yes, you should test incrementality. Yes, you should test whether or not ads are effective for your brand. And then I just kind of liked a little bit of the spice that Mike Ryan Retail put in here. He said, he quote tweeted it. I could still see there was a quote tweet. And he said, I can't wait for at Randfish's keynote in 5 years when he tells us Temu. My kids keep making me say Temu. I think it's Temu.
I always said Temu.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't wait for Randfish's keynote in 5 years when he tells us Temu turned off ads and nothing happened. It's going to be so chrome. I'm going to head back to Gastown and tell the war boys all about it.
Do you think Rand will reply?
No. Rand has a note on there saying he doesn't post on X because he doesn't believe in it.
Is he on Mastodon?
Oh, he's still on X, though. Posting on X.
Wait, is a post saying that he doesn't post on X?
He may have changed it, so I may have to cut this out.
Sorry.
Let's see. It was changed. At one point, it said it doesn't support the platform. It seems like it supports the platform now, though, so nice little change of heart there.
Interesting.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. We are once again hearing from Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail on X. He posted, I find it more than a bit misleading that Google displays their charts in this way. It looks quite positive to see the line going up and to the right. So in this example, Google is telling him that he should set a campaign-wide target ROAS of 550%, and there's a chart, and it has cost on the Y-axis and conversion value on the X-axis, and is indeed going up and to the right. It's also like the numbers are all so close together, and what does this mean to me? Like
nothing.
Then he continued, if you flip the axes, you see that it is, of course, a diminishing return. And now he has the conversion value going up and the cost going to the right. And you can see that it would be a diminishing return if you flip it. Because why do we even care about cost on the left? Like, we want to see if the conversion value is going up or down. It's just stupid.
Costs the are on the rise.
You're spending more. Yes, you're still spending more.
Yeah.
Why?
Leave it to Mike, but wish we could edit those charts ourselves.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week from Anthony Higman, at Anthony Higman on X. Google My Business? Nope. It's not yours. It's theirs. That's why they changed the name from Google My Business to Google Business Profile. LSAs for home services are now in Google Business Profile. And he has a screenshot of a construction company, NK Construction and Design. Shout out, because Google's just using their GBP to advertise. And on the profile, sponsored, more general contractors nearby. They just have some LSA team over there. Like, how can we screw the small businesses over and the lawyers over? And that's their whole job.
They already have, like, people already searched for it. And now you're just like, oh, what ad placement do I want? The Google Business Profile. That is some smarmy stuff.
So bad. Anthony, I think he might have posted this one first, but I just like the last one. He said, Google is pulling out all the scumbag stops and is now actively monetizing business Google business profiles. Businesses Google business profiles with local service ads for all their competitors directly in their own Google business profile. When will the greed stop? This is a terrible look and move.
Amen. Pigman.
It's, I mean, I've got a story talking about link clicks out from all the different locations. And at some point, this is all just on us. We need to just band together and be like,
stop using and not Google. Click.
Like, let's go. Let's duck, duck, go, guys.
Oh, my dad's been on that train for years. Like,
this is on us. We keep using Google. I'm the only one that uses Edge in here. You don't use Edge?
No.
It's horrible. But I persevere. I use Bing. I use Copilot. Like, they can do whatever they want. And they can take, again, they're always like, oh, we care about small business. Look at this Google X account for Google Small Biz and just go vomit at how terrible that intern's posts are.
It's insulting.
Yeah.
But then you see something that actually matters, that they had said, send people here. You don't need websites. You can go use this. We can help you. And they're really like, and we're going to help ourselves. You've got your profile. And we're going to run your competitors' ads on here, as well as people also search for. It's just
do no evil.
They got rid of
the reason that's gone, long gone.
I'm glad Anthony's out there fighting the good fight. I wonder if he bings. Should ask him.
I feel like we should have like a group chat, like a group call, like once a month with Anthony, and just all yell. It was so fun.
We met him
in
person, and he wasn't yelling. Oh, you had late night, though.
We had late night. We were just screaming.
I went to bed.
Google? Oh, it was all Google. We were in Higman's penthouse. And we were just up till like 2 in the morning screaming about Google.
Yeah. When I met him and Drew, they were perfectly lovely. Wasn't like their Twitter selves, but.
They weren't fired up yet.
I know.
Too early in the day.
We should have an event and then one of the next conference. It's like.
People against Google evilness.
Yeah, we should all get to just vent, like get our frustrations. It felt so good to get our frustrations out in person.
Yeah, that's the reason for conferences. Next up from PPC Greg, he posted, when I want to add positive search term as exact match, I first add them quickly as broad, then bulk switch them over to exact match, because it's really annoying when you try to do multiple at once and you have to add the symbols. He continues, lately I've been getting this error, and the only way I can switch the keywords is by using ads editor. Deliberate speed bump? Mm. And the error says the data written is too large, split the request into smaller requests. Could be small, but I'm starting to think they're all deliberate. Next up from Gil Gilner at Gil Gilner on X. I honestly can't believe this email from a Google rep for one of our small business accounts. And it says, hi, Gil. I hope this email finds you well. Then in all red, please confirm with me that you receive this email once you get it.
No.
Why? The Google rep continues, as a rule of thumb, I always recommend my clients increase budget on any and all campaigns by 15% and 20%.
When? Now?
Like as a rule. Why would you, like, okay, I get, even if I found out Google was saying that internally to each other, like always recommend it. Why would you say that to Gil?
As this would give the campaign more room to work with.
Well, I'm sure this is copy paste of saying this to everybody.
It's so terrible.
Any and all campaigns by 15% to 20%. And I understand that this came from Teleperformance. But guess what? That email is google.com.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are out there shaking every nickel out of your pockets. It's disgusting.
I don't not blame Google for this. They're letting Teleperformance do their customer service.
Like, you're literally giving, like, that's how this person, Amir in this case, and Gil didn't out him with the last name. That's how this person survives, is to get people to spend more.
Yeah. I had a meeting with a dedicated rep last week, and he asked me if we get paid on percentage of spend. And I was like, bro, no.
No, we're not.
But like, just being so transparent, like I barely know you and you feel comfortable asking, like, mm-hmm. No, we're not taking advantage of my client. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm trying to spend as little on your stupid platform as I can, for the record.
I have an idea though. You should spend 15 to 20% more. It's just a good rule of thumb.
I know, whatever, I can edit this. I'm editing the show. It could be as long as we want. The fact that you would just tell people 15 to 20% on any and all campaign, that means you could be on something like maximize clicks. It could be something like any and all campaign, every time you talk to somebody, let's say you're on maximize conversions. The more budget you put in, it varies and is wildly different because you have more budget and it will spend more. So every time this person talks to somebody that has maximized conversions, you're like, oh, flip it up 20%. Talk to them again next month, 20%, 20%, 20%, 20%. How can you say any and all campaigns that that's what you do? Imagine how poor that performance would be. This is a disaster. This should be like...
framed.
This should go... Honestly, this came from a Google account, google.com. And they say digital account strategist. This should be given to the DOJ.
Yeah.
Google is saying any and all campaign go up 15 to 20%. There is absolutely no justification that you could ever have. If something isn't working, why would you move it up 20%? How is there not a class action lawsuit or something? Like, this is unbelievable.
And it must work because they're still out there doing their thing. Like, people must be raising them. It's terrible.
They're just money hungry. It's like, you guys have to get rid of teleperform. You have to get rid of this stuff. And then guess what we see? If they do that, they get rid of some support. And then all of a sudden, your competitors are showing up in your Google business profile. Oh, and you did a search for workers' comp attorney. And then guess what shows up? Auto accident attorney. It's like, it's... instead of making products better, they just make them worse. And I never understand that, other than a quarterly OKR. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
It's really a shame. Want to get happy a little bit? I have maybe a good update from a charming person, AJ Wilcox.
He's the
yes,
best.
Please.
He posted on LinkedIn, hot off the LinkedIn presses. LinkedIn just announced that thought leader ads will be available to promote content from non-employees. This opens us up to the wide world of user-generated content / customer content, as well as influencer marketing uses of LinkedIn ads. How are you going to use this? Pretty cool.
So that's awesome. So if somebody goes and let's say they use our tool to download and save your GA3 or your UA data called uadataextract.com, then we can go grab that and sponsor it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Really cool. Thank you, AJ. Then we have some updates from Advantage Plus from Meta, which maybe they're good, but everything just sounds like, what's their strategy with naming everything like such generic names? They say they're just trying to confuse us. I don't know.
100%.
Okay. So first, Advantage Plus creative optimizations. You can now automatically optimize your video ads for viewing on Reels or the mobile Facebook and Instagram apps with a 9:16 ratio. I do love people cropping things for me, I gotta say. Hate doing it myself. Next, Advantage Plus catalog ads now support videos, and you can upload a hero image in the center of catalog ads. Reminder ads, advertisers can now include external links in reminder ads. That seems nice. And coming this summer, you'll be able to notify people when an event starts and before it ends. Don't know how reminder ads work, but I would think that would be how they worked. So interesting. And soon you'll be able to run reminder ads in Reels. Finally, ads with product tags are coming to the Facebook feed. They're currently in Instagram only. And in April, ads with product tags will be available to everyone, whether or not they have a shop. So seems like good things. They also talked about better analytics for performance for Advantage Plus. So that's good too. And that's it for paid. What's happening in organic?
All right. First up in organic this week, Google March 2024 core update. It's a big one. It like rolled out right when we were recording last week. So we didn't have a ton of information, but like we talked about last week, They give a ton more detail, talked about things they typically don't. This is likely what Danny was saying with the buckle up analogy. And there were some major fluctuations and then also some recoveries already, which is strange. So Barry Schwartz, the incredibly fast talker over on Search Engine Land, has a great post called "What We're Seeing Leak into the Google March 2024 Core and Spam Updates." Breaks everything down. And then over on Search Engine Roundtable, Barry has another great post if you're interested in this called "We Are Seeing Some Early Reversals of the Google March 2024 Core Spam Update." And in that post, he has a slew of charts documenting the case. What's that noise?
It's time for Barry's Charts with Greg.
All right, this week we have like a combo for number three. SimilarWeb and Mangools.
What? What is, I don't like
Mangools.
That. I don't like that at all.
Mangools.
What is it?
And I like this because SimilarWeb, they have too many colors. Mm-hmm. And Mangools doesn't have enough colors. And they're side by side, and I just really appreciated that.
But it's a March update, St. Patrick's Day. The colors are kind of on theme, rainbow, you know?
But why is green in the middle? Green is a sign of, like, good. Things are good.
Yeah.
And they've got green in the middle, and then they've got, like, a reddish at the top, blue. This doesn't make sense.
It's getting
and they're all too close, too. Those colors are too close.
Well, so blue is the best?
Yeah, they're getting cooler. Hot to cold?
Yeah, because yellow's green's got some yellow in it. It's warm.
You need yellow somewhere in there. It's too drastic of a color
change. You want a traffic
change.
Light.
And then
what
Mangools, this looks like you're at a Syracuse, you're like at the Carrier Dome for a game for that one.
Or Blippi.
Yeah.
All right. Second place, SerpStat. If you look at the very end, it kind of looks like rock hand emojis.
Oh, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I like the colors too. They're nice pastels for spring.
Again, like, you need color variation.
I see two
it's
colors.
Not, no, it's if you look at them, they're too tight, but I'm not going to. I just like the rock hands that are in there. And then the winner this week was SerpMetrics. I see, like, if you look hard enough, you can see, like, three different types of witches in there. And I've got a little example there. Like, you can see the hat pop up around, like, February 29th. And then, like, the nose and the chin pointing out. Like, that's a witch.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Like, burn that chart.
Some would call it a woman ghoul.
Clap. That was good.
All right. Amazing.
Did you make this witch?
No, I just found it online.
With what? A marker?
No, like one of those AI things?
I will. I don't have the rights for this, so I will put one in on YouTube. And this episode is going to be a good one on YouTube. Okay. And Glenn Gabe says, be careful what you wish for. For site owners impacted by the September HCU, some are now receiving manual actions for pure spam. So I hope those site owners weren't hoping for recovery with the next major update. Instead, they got completely de-indexed. Google's manual actions team is not messing around. Here are some examples of drops based on sites receiving manual actions. The drops are just beginning to show. And a funny little twist of fate. I've seen it on Twitter. I cannot verify, but I trust some of the sources. John Mueller from Google, his site was apparently de-indexed. Allegedly de-indexed.
Hmm.
Which is funny.
What's his site? Does it have a fun name?
It's just johnmueller.com, I believe.
Aptly named.
So again, check and make sure you don't have manual actions as your spam. But if you need to get any help with that, just give Glenn Gabe a call at GlennGabeNX. G Squared Interactive. Okay, and from Mike Fatita, at Mike Fatita on X, he says, Google's helpful content, quote, update in a nutshell. Query, Cancun food and drink prices. The number one result, this TripAdvisor thread from 19 years ago. 19 years ago.
I didn't even know TripAdvisor was as old as I am.
Julia, are you even 19? Julia's running the board for Tables today. Shout out Tables. Had his child. Congrats, Tables. But yeah, so the example was food and drink prices literally 19 years ago by somebody named Spotman.
This thread is old enough to be the mother of Tables' baby. But it's his beautiful wife, Cassidy.
Wild.
Like, this is really helpful too. Somebody asked if $600 is enough, and the first answer is depends on what you like. This is not even
helpful. Okay, there was also the Core Web Vitals update that went live on the 12th. This replaces the FID with INP. It has nothing to do with Core Update, according to Barry Schwartz at Rusty Brick on X. But if you care about Core Web Vitals, like you freaks out there that monitor it consistently and like that's all you look at, you got a new thing to look at.
Those freaks don't listen to this show. They hate us.
Okay. Might have to beep that out. Okay. All right. From Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYC on X, she had reposted a post from Natsir at Natsir9 on X. Natsir had seen a change in the search quality rater guidelines. The change is the website terms of use states that some articles are generated by AI and may have errors or be out of date. The website should be considered untrustworthy or the lowest EEAT. Unless you're TripAdvisor from 19 years ago.
Not out of date. Still relevant.
But Lily Ray said, brilliant catch. Using AI to generate content that contains factual inaccuracies on your money, your life topics equals the lowest quality EEAT in the QRG or Quality Raters Guides and considered deceptive. This section was so overdue, but I'm really glad Google added it. And yeah, this likely explains many pure spam penalties, to which I say, TripAdvisor, 19 years ago, can't go. Okay, moving ahead here. Google Search has turned off some event-rich results. If you run events, check out a post over on Search Engine Roundtable. Barry breaks it down. Google said, as a result, you may see a drop in clicks and impressions for your event search appearance reported metrics in your performance report. This doesn't indicate real drop in traffic, only the way we categorize it in Search Console. Also from Search Engine Roundtable here, Google's top stories get a more context section generated by AI. And fittingly enough, the example that Barry used was Kate Middleton. And Kate Middleton apologized for editing family photo. And underneath it, you can see more context. I don't exactly understand this context. It says the Princess of Wales returned to royal engagements after Easter. That seems like a bad use of AI.
Yeah.
Much like
she's supposed to return.
Much like Catherine's use of Photoshop. Pretty terrible.
I don't think it was her.
You think you're calling her the queen? Is she the queen?
Princess of
she's
Wales.
The Princess of Wales.
Are you calling future the Princess queen. Of Wales a liar?
No, I don't think she put out that statement.
I still don't understand exposed. What happened.
Oh everyone God. Who listening does.
Not if they read this context. Easter has not yet happened.
Do you want me to go really fast on this? Or do you want to go fast?
I feel like me.
Okay, go.
Okay, so Kate Middleton was seen at like Christmas Eve events. And then all of a sudden, right after, it was announced that she was going in for planned abdominal surgery and she would not be seen again until after Easter, which is such a long time. And it's just very mysterious. It's not what the royal family would normally do. There's very few working members still doing things. So everyone's very suspicious and started asking questions. So usually the royal family is never complained, never explained. They wouldn't say anything about it, but they're like trying to do things. There's this mysterious photo of her in a car with her mom. And everyone was like, that's not enough proof. That could be anyone. It was very blurry. So then she posted on Mother's Day in the UK and she was like, happy Mother's Day from Catherine. And it was supposedly a picture that's new. Everyone's assuming that
she put 2024 in the caption.
Yeah. Mm. It's like, assume that she's saying this is a new photo. And there's all these things like Charlotte's hair is really long. There's like blurry Photoshop stuff. people think that they superimposed her Vogue cover from last year onto her face because it looks exactly the same. Like, this is not a new photo.
All the outfits match like a certain date in November 2023.
Yes.
Like, so we think she's gone. Like, that's what I don't get. I understand the abdominal surgery.
Crazy theories all over the place. I think she's ranging from she's at the Willy Wonka experience to she got a BBL.
I heard the slip
to the marriage is over to she's dead. So.
Or plastic surgery or botched.
Yeah. I really want the best for her, and I hope she just got a facelift and, you know, wants everyone to stay out of her business. But it's just very not like the royal family.
Gotcha. So we're concerned for her safety at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then all of a sudden she's leaving.
No. We're concerned at how bad she is at Photoshop. At least that's my concern.
So then she came out. She supposedly came out and said, I'm sorry. It's a statement from her. I'm sorry for this photo. Like many amateur photographers, which she didn't take the photo because
right,
she's in it. I like to experiment with Photoshop. Which never complain, never explain. Like they would never do anything like that, and they just keep like it's a PR disaster. If so they would just stop these talking, things
happen. Yeah,
the AP put a kill out, so that means that's manipulated. You can't or like a kill on the image. Mm. So. Because it was manipulated.
There's all this stuff.
Yes. But anyway, this AI stinks because it says the Princess of Wales returned to royal engagements after Easter. That's not even English.
Easter hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened.
After Easter 2023, perhaps.
Okay. From Rand Fishkin and Spark Toro. Rand has a post saying, who sends traffic on the web and how much? New research from Datos and Spark Toro. In the article, he says, Google and by a mile, close to two-thirds of all U.S. web traffic referrals from the top 170 sites initiated on Google.com. It's Google. Guess what the second site is? YouTube. Yep. It's technically YouTube, but Google also hosts Google Docs, Gmail, Google Meet, and others. And Microsoft has a bunch of top 100s. Bing.com, Office.com, Live.com, Office 365, SharePoint, all that stuff. So if you want to see who is driving the most traffic, you can head on over to Spark Toro. The one thing that I just take umbrage with some of the posts is the fact that you're not exactly, you're kind of really biased in some of the stuff. Rand, as he wrote, because I was reading through it and I'm like, is this real? This is like a Kate Middleton photo. And it says, Twitter's not a surprise. And Twitter was up there. Twitter. And so he wrote, Twitter's not a surprise. Though if they're still there in 3 years, that would be. Whoa. The site's decline in traffic, app downloads, usage, and civility is troubling. And most data-savvy prognosticators expect Meta's Threads to overtake them within a few years.
Twitter might fall off if they're discouraging people from sharing links.
I'm just like,
but not for the reasons he put here.
Anybody said? Anybody, not most. Has anybody said Threads is going to like I thought no. People stopped using Threads.
I think Jenny just joined.
Jenny joined.
Poor thing.
I feel the same way more about Google than Twitter, but I feel the same way. It's like Elon's doing so many annoying things. Like, I wish there was another Twitter that we were all on and could go to, but you just can't beat it.
Right. Like, his other thing was everybody go to Mastodon. And then guess what? Mastodon is the most difficult thing to use.
Rand was a big Mastodon guy.
I will go back and find the tweet and put it over my face right now.
Sorry, editor. Nobody asked you to do that. You don't have to. You could just say yes.
I'll find it right now. So Rand had put out an article over on Spark Toro, which is a tool to help you get better at social media. That's his tool. And the name was Why Marketers, Creators, and Brands Should Start Using Mastodon ASAP. And in there, he talks about the fact that there are plenty of articles about why you should leave Twitter or at least cross-post to Mastodon, and has been very vocal about that. So I would just say when you've got bias that big, I just tend to not totally trust some of those articles, and I don't know if Mastodon is even alive anymore. Have you guys on Mastodon?
Never.
You know anybody on Mastodon?
No.
Okay. So anyway, I asked Copilot, Microsoft's AI, I said, actually, do data-savvy prognosticators expect Meta's Threads to overtake X, formerly Twitter, in users? co-pilot said, data savvy prognosticators have been closely monitoring the race between Threads and X. Let's delve into the analysis. Talked about Threads' meteoric rise and also some of the challenges and the user engagement decline, saying despite its initial surge, Threads faced a significant drop in user engagement after the initial excitement waned. Data firm SimilarWeb, which tracks social media use, reported this decline. And then went on to say the verdict is, while the task of surpassing X remains challenging, experts believe that if any platform can achieve this feat, Thread stands the best chance. That sure doesn't sound like to me in the least bit that most data savvy prognosticators expect Threads to overtake X in a few years. Right?
Right.
No.
You're supposed to be helping people be better at social media.
Yeah.
I understand you don't like the platform. And that's up to you. But you're going on your company blog saying things that don't seem to be rooted in reality. Mm-hmm. So again, take all of this with a grain of salt. Okay. And then next up, YouTube has some insights from the Mr. Beast team talking about how to make compelling thumbnails. Links over to an interview with Jimmy Donaldson, aka Mr. Beast. And he ran through like a bunch of things that really matter to thumbnails. And why don't you guys say if we do a good job here? Number one, trust is key. Do you trust me?
Our thumbnails?
Based on our thumbnails?
Yeah.
I think we look very trustworthy. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I trust SparkToro. Okay. Number two, consistency.
They're consistently bad.
Yeah, they're consistent. Our thumbnails?
I think we need more consistency. Yeah. I think we need more like a color scheme or something bigger. I still think we need more.
Okay.
But I think the trust part was about like you don't want to like clickbait somebody into being like, you'll never believe what Google did next.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we're putting on the promise.
Yeah. You said you were going to put my head on Elon's body this week.
I was going to when he's on the Joe Rogan show smoking.
I don't know if that would be trustworthy, but.
Yeah, that's true.
Or consistent. Or the next one, visually clear.
Visual clarity. I feel like we're good there. And testing, we do. But check it out if you want to know more about thumbnails. There's a good interview. And then lastly, from Jack over on our data team, we were talking this morning, and I had missed this. It was from January. But apparently, Google Fonts violates GDPR.
Stop.
So you can't have Google Fonts as a necessary item on your site in order to be GDPR compliant.
What is the recommendation?
There's a different way to make it not load with all the Jack is way smarter than me at this stuff. But there's a way you can like make it not a must have, but a nice to have.
Font.
And if you don't.
So it would switch to a different font?
Yeah, it'd just be
different. It'd just okay. Just be like Arial?
Right.
What if it's Comic Sans?
But like everybody uses Google Fonts.
Right.
And I'm like, and what I said to him is like, this might be like World War III. Not being able to use fonts?
Yeah.
You're taking away our fonts?
They took our fonts.
My Droid Sans? You can't give me my Droid Sans?
What font is the X logo?
I forget. It was like something that sounded like his kid's name, to be honest with you.
His kid is really cute. I just saw a picture of him on X today. Some Super Bowl thing.
Why were you on X?
I was reading the news, the articles for the show. The only time I go on once a week.
Okay. That's it in organic. What's happening in social, bud?
Before we get into social.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Hagman was talking about you on X.
Me? Mm-hmm. On X?
You were so missing that he called you just Bud without an E.
Oh. Yeah. Two Ds, though?
Two Ds, no E.
Heck, yeah. Guy knows how to party.
You don't even care what he said?
Tell me, regale me.
Called you a giant loser.
Well, that's true.
No,
he's reporting the facts. That's fine. Thank you, Anthony. Are you going to find it?
Yeah, I'll find it.
Okay.
Was it about the CAPTCHA thing?
Oh, yeah.
It was.
I responded to her when I said she likes doing CAPTCHAs, waiting at the DMV.
Oh, it was the, yeah.
The DMV. And then something else stupid, like watching cement dry or something. What is the other weird thing you like doing?
I've never done that. I like licking envelopes.
That is the worst yet.
Oh my God, they taste so good. And then you chase it with a Reese's egg. Haven't I talked about this before? It's the best combo. Like, move over PB&J. Envelope glue and Reese's eggs.
You need help, Jess.
I had this great t-shirt idea, just a help wanted sign.
Oh, I said she likes going to the DMV, doing CAPTCHAs, and organizing dishwashers.
I do. But I only like it because I hate what people do in there and I need to fix it. It's not like I want to do that with my day. It's just important. Right, Shep?
You like touching other people's dirty dishes.
I do not. I need things to be organized so there's more room so that the rest of you don't have to touch the dirty dishes because your stuff slides in easily. I'm doing a community service. I care about my team. Okay.
What's the social news?
Thanks, Anthony, for the shout out. All right, let's get into the social news because it's really important and everybody cares. First up, X is launching long form articles as an option for Premium Plus subscribers. And it's not just that you can have like unlimited characters in your post. It's like a full on social media today called it essentially a blogging platform built into the X system. And it really is. It's like a different interface. You can play around with fonts and colors, things like that. You can use bold and italics, have lists and links. So it's cool. I guess it's nice to have. But we were talking about this a little bit earlier this week internally here. And Greg, you always say build on your own land, which you stand by, but if somebody else is doing it, if your competitors are out there writing long form content, folks are clicking that, you might see a decrease at some point, who knows. But I do think that this could be a cool opportunity for like exclusive content if you wanted just your followers on X to see a certain thing, or if you're new, don't want to invest in your own website and just want to see if people care what you think, you could use it. I also feel like, I mean, so Elon Musk posted, our algorithm tries to optimize time spent on X so links don't get as much attention because there's less time spent if people are clicking away. So the best thing to post, the best thing is to post content in long form on this platform. Of course, he's biased. Of course, he's saying that. But if they're not giving as much weight to people that are just sharing links, like you could use long form to tease your article and write half of it there and then link over to the full thing on your site. I don't know how that would work, if it would work. But it's the workaround in my mind. I feel like I don't know. There's probably uses for this, but don't just go putting all your posts there. Next up, Reddit has a new toolkit for businesses. It's called Reddit Pro. It's a dashboard that will provide data on post view counts, upvotes, followers, things like that. It'll also include new publishing tools like scheduling and drafts, performance analytics, and AI-powered trends insights. So it's cool. It's not available yet to everyone. It's currently on a first-come, first-served basis, but you can sign up to join. There's a link in the article. And someone that was digging into app updates saw
some... Who was digging into app updates?
I don't know, actually. Digital Information World reported on this and didn't give the person's name, then linked to an article also where the person didn't reveal themselves. So somebody out there was digging into app updates and saw some code with hints at an entirely separate platform from TikTok called TikTok Photos, where users can sync their image content along with a message that said TikTok Photos will be launched soon, yada, yada, yada. Cool. Total missed opportunity. It should be called PikTok. Why are they calling it TikTok Photos? Idiots.
Is that from a reputable source?
It's from author? Digital Information World. And you told me, you wrote in the notes not to quote it, but now I'm going to because I feel like that's what you're getting at. Here's a sentence that I just had to send to Shep earlier. Just when you thought TikTok was one app solely restricted to videos, comes news about a new platform that might only have to do pictures.
They cover everything. Well,
I trust them.
I would only trust them if they have like a high level of credential. Who wrote that article?
Some dentist.
The dentist.
Who wrote it?
A dentist.
What's the name of the author?
Dr. Uhura Anwar.
And what is his byline? Or like what's his profile?
A dental surgeon by profession and a freelance content writer by passion.
My heart. My heart sings.
I trust them.
Just when you thought he was a guy who was solely focused on dentistry, now he has a blog where he only has to do marketing.
How's it different from Barry Schwartz, really?
Imagine going to dental school for 26 years just to be like, you know what? My passion ain't molars anymore. I just do it for a profession. My passion.
26 years.
Yeah.
Like four.
Okay.
Whatever. I trust him.
The point is, TikTok. If you're listening, ByteDance, change the name now before you release it. Although it may not matter because breaking news as of just before we started recording here. The House passed a bill that would lead to a nationwide ban on TikTok if its Chinese owner doesn't sell. The bill faces an uncertain path in the Senate. So it's not a law yet. It has to go through the Senate first.
Never going to pass.
We'll see.
Imagine people just go dancing all over the place. You know, they're going to invade again and just dance right through the halls of Congress. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
All right, and with less than 1% of the total user base paying for verification on Facebook and Instagram, Meta is considering ways to entice people to get on it in the way of new features. They sent out a survey, apparently, to some users, kind of poking at some ideas. Would your business be willing to pay for these things? Original content protection via human review, faster ad reviews, customer support case monitoring, an alternative display for brand messages, an alternative brand verification badge, better access to customer support, and links in Reels, but only a limit of 8 per month. So you're paying $12 a month for whatever you get on top of maybe some of these things, but you're going to limit how many links I can put in my Reel? Like, if this wasn't worth it to you before, why is it going to be worth it to you now? And your customer support should just be good because it's because what customer support means. I shouldn't have to pay $12. Just saying.
Sad.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
All right, working hard for me this week is live feedback. As a team, we are trying to help each other out more, and we do have, you know, regular performance reviews, things to help people grow in place more formally, but we've been doing a lot more of like sitting in on calls and, you know, right afterwards regrouping, talking about ways that we could have, you know, done better or things that worked really well. And I love that. I feel like the team is growing for it and it's just a great way to get us all talking.
For me.
I just don't know. Like, I'm too, I don't ever like to feel like I'm like mansplaining people.
I know. It's harder
like,
for men.
I do, like, I try with Julia a lot, who's running the boards, as we talked about earlier. Julia, do I come off as like a mansplainer to you?
What? No. You okay. Think she's going to say yes?
I don't know. I feel bad, like, sometimes because I'm like, I just always want to try to give, like, some feedback, and I think it's really valuable.
It
but
is.
Sometimes it's like,
yeah,
I
but
don't know. I feel like it's really nice when people, like, understand that it's coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
It's coming from a place of like, let's all like get better.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the core of it. And if you don't have people that are open to that and like want to improve, I would just be careful with some of that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, for sure. But I think there's a lot of value too in doing it right away and not saving it for 100%. Formal reviews.
I feel like
that.
You have an awareness of it, Greg. So okay. that's helps.
Good.
You know, Jess has the luxury of not being a man. So when the feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. For once, that's a luxury. Yes. Happy International Women's History Month or whatever.
For me, Google Ads said that we were going to be able to see search partner network places in PMax at the beginning of March. So I logged in at the beginning of March and was fooled by the display placement, thinking it was the PMax, the search partner placement. It wasn't. Why don't they just make that clear? Because now I'm checking with PPC Greg over DM on X the report every week to see if there's search partner placements in there yet, and there's not. They always tease these things, and then we never really know when they're coming, and maybe they never will, and they're just counting us on us forgetting.
It's definitely mid-March by now, too, right? So
yeah.
Not the beginning of March.
No, they said March. Well, they said a specific date when we first announced it, and it has passed. I feel like it was March 5th.
Yeah,
but now they're saying March. So maybe I don't have any search partner network placements in my campaign, but it lists every single display network placement and it doesn't let me add the column. Mm-hmm. I can see it's there. I just can't add it. I just hate when they announce things and then don't show you how you can actually do it when it's coming.
So
you know?
Rude.
Okay. Greg?
For me this week, something hardly working. Just a quick reminder, if you have anything that you've got that's trying to be like blocking bots, just be really attentive of that. We ran into an issue where there might have been some over blocking of traffic. And I just think at this point in life, all those tools that you see out there that are like, we'll stop invalid clicks, they're just never worth it. You've done the same thing.
A couple of different clients.
Right? Yeah. They don't use them anymore.
Google does a pretty good job.
Yeah. So be really careful. All those companies sell you a bill of goods and then block the dollars from hitting your bank.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool is a guide that should be widely known among Team PPC. It's actually an article from Frederick Bally's for Search Engine Land and a very helpful one at that. It is how to analyze Performance Max search terms insights for PPC success. And if you didn't know this, apparently there has been a bug that was stopping scripts from pulling search term data from the campaign search term insight report for like the longest time. And this has now finally been fixed so you can actually pull the queries into scripts and do real things with the data. So this article explains not only how to access the query data, but then how to analyze it and take action on those areas for optimization that you might find, which we know are few and far between with PMax. So that's really cool. There's even a link in the script, in the article for the scripts. You can go right for it. And bonus points for insights on how to use human brains and AI, if you want, ChatGPT for analysis. So some really helpful tips and tricks in there, as well as the script itself. As always, we'll have a link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. That's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingaclock.com respectively. So pick your poison and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from power listener of the show, Sophie Logan, over on Search Engine Land, called Six Tips for Better PPC Ad Copy. And Sophie has like the right take. And if you're ever trying to write ads, take all these into account. She says, ensure it flows in any order. And that's something I think people always try to get over dramatic with. And then especially that you can have single headline RSAs now. Like, yeah, you need to make sure like it works at any time. Number two, don't speak to your target audience. Speak like them. Talks about some of the ways you can get there. Number three, don't go overboard with your keywords. And then she has three more here. So if you're trying to write better ad copy, definitely don't miss the article over on Search Engine Land. Six tips for better PPC ad copy. Thank you, Sophie.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Jess, Bud, what will you be adding this week?
This song has been absolutely consuming my life. It got stuck in my head out of nowhere, and I've listened to it 4 to 5 times a day since Monday. Sweet Surrender by Sarah McLachlan. I don't know where she came from, but I'm so glad she's here.
Canada.
Yeah.
I want to add a song from the Spidey and His Amazing Friends soundtrack, but I won't.
Oh, shoot.
That's my new earworm, thanks to you. I wouldn't actually play it at my desk. I would play it in my car. Okay, fair enough. I'm going to add Bye from the new Ariana Grande album. It's pretty good. Okay. Greg?
Oh, my kids have gotten into funk recently. What? P-H-O-N-K. Oh. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's like stupid music made for kids, but it's like techno.
I don't techno know. Funk.
There's a song, they just like ask Alexa to play stuff, and they just love capybaras. So there's a song by called Capybara by a Russian name.
Is it the TikTok song?
What is it? Sing it.
Capybara, capybara, capybara.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's very famous.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. I'm not on TikTok.
Wow. When I first added kid songs to this, you called me out.
I feel now, like I could work for look that, at though. You. It's funk. It's not like you play like Blues Clues and stuff. You're like, oh, a mouse catool.
Spidey, that's just the age my children were at the time.
The Spidey song
Spideys
is catchy.
Spideys are good, so I'll do it next week.
It's from the Fallout
Spidey
Boy
and
guy.
Spidey and His Amazing Friends. Mm-hmm. Patrick Stump wrote it.
Wait, is that the little cartoon one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Disney
yeah.
Plus.
Oh, that's good. That's
the theme
good
song for that is good. Unrelated, but Beyonce's doing country now.
I can't wait.
I heard it yesterday. On Spotify, X played it for me. It's not good.
I think it was Photoshopped.
What?
It's not good? You wash your mouth. All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
shoot the heck.
And today we are joined by Cypress North's own Julia. Behind the tables, that's what you say? Or no, behind the boards.
Yes, behind the boards.
For a very special game.
Yes. The show Love is Blind Season 6.
Yes.
That's the season. Has taken over The Office. So
we're in a chokehold.
Yes. Nonstop Love is Blind talk.
So, except for Jessica.
I was going to say, I have not been part of this. I don't know what it is. I'm really excited to play.
Okay. So we went and Shep, Jess, and I answered like some of the basic questions that people ask on Love is Blind. Then we put some other ones in. Some are real, some aren't. And then Julia has to guess whose answer is each.
Okay.
One.
So it's like we're in a pod and Julia's in a pod.
Yes. But she's got to guess which one. So it's kind of like Love is Blind, but then it's more like trivia.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, who would actually answer that to somebody else?
Love is trivia.
Love is trivia.
Yeah.
Okay. First question. Julia, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you believe in love at first sight? A, no, that is fairly stupid. B, I believe in love at first vibe. Does that count? C, LOL. All right, which one of those? So, no, that is fairly stupid. Who do you think said that?
I feel like you said that.
Okay. Who said, I believe in love at first vibe? Does that count?
Maybe Shep.
And who said LOL?
I think Jess said LOL.
You got one out of three. Okay. You got me right. I said fairly stupid. Shep said LOL.
I said LOL.
And I said the nice, thoughtful answer.
Okay. What is your guilty pleasure TV show? A, I don't feel guilt for any TV I watch. B, Big Timber. C, Married with Children. Who is,
oh, no.
I don't feel guilt for any TV I watch?
I'm going to go Shep for that one.
All right. Who's Big Timber?
I'll go Jess.
Who is Married with Children?
I guess you.
Logger Kevin Winstow.
You never are heard of crew. That.
One out of three. I was Big Timber. Yeah. It is the worst show on television.
I've never heard of it.
It is so boring. There's nothing that ever happens. This guy just tries to take like driftwood out of the sea. And I feel so terrible watching it. But for some reason, it's like that one other show where these people are like looking for like uranium treasure. I forget. I was talking about it like 3 years
ago. Oak Island?
Something. This is the absolute most boring reality TV show ever. And none of the characters are likable. They're not interesting. I don't know why I watch it.
But you watch it?
Yeah. Every now and then.
I said I don't feel guilty. I mean, I'll tell everyone all day. I watch The Duggars. I watch everything on Bravo. I'm an open book.
Yeah, I don't really feel guilty either. I feel judged because Married with Children is kind of anti-woman and very old.
Where do you watch it?
I believe it's on Hulu. It's on Hulu. Yeah. I love it.
Okay,
it
so did I surprise believe me. It. No, you knew exactly where that was.
Every night.
Big Timber. This looks like one of our thumbnails.
That's going to be, I'm going to Photoshop our face onto Big Timber. Okay, next up. What kind of humor do you appreciate? A, observational or self-deprecating. Depreciating? Oh, joke. B, the really stupid kind. C, dark humor and silly fart-like joke humor. Julia, who is observational or self-deprecating?
I feel like that could be you.
Okay, who is the really stupid kind? And who is dark humor and silly fart-like joke humor?
I feel like this one has to be Jess.
You got zero out of three!
I Googled types of humor. I don't know. I wanted to say memes, but...
Memes are a type of humor.
Mom memes.
All right, I hope you playing along are doing better than Julia here.
I do like fart humor. It is funny, Julia.
But just like stupid. Like something like so I think you should leave. Something so dumb.
Anything, the really stupid kind. That was my answer. Anything. Puns. Okay.
All right. What is your spirit animal? A, golden retriever. B, humans are animals. C, anyone at the zoo that is currently doing its best way to stay out of the view of the people. Oh. All right, Julia. Who is a golden retriever?
I feel like Shep is golden retriever.
Who is... Humans are animals.
You.
Who is anyone at the zoo that is currently doing its best to stay out of view of the people?
Jess.
One out of three.
I don't like dogs, Julia.
I'm a golden retriever.
You are?
I think so. I'm just like a, outside of work, I'm just like.
They just seem like a very casual dog. You're not like, you don't have casual energy.
No, but you're always like, just like. Ready to go do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I can
see
it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to describe a golden. Ready to go do stuff.
Okay, final one here. What's your ideal date night? A, food and drinks for hours, good conversation. Maybe some walking. Definitely some walking.
Wow.
Then some more food. B, late night at Disneyland with very minimal crowds. Possibly a 32-ounce water bottle filled with Topo Chico margarita seltzer.
Very specific.
C, doing something active like hiking, going to a good restaurant. Okay. Julia, you can get this one. Who is food and drinks for hours, good conversation, maybe some walking, definitely some walking, then more food?
I think Jess.
Who is late night at Disneyland with very minimal crowds, 32-ounce water bottle filled with Topo Chico margarita seltzer?
For sure, Chef.
All right, and hiking, restaurant, me.
You.
Got them all!
Good job, Julia.
Finally, a sweep.
There are a lot of really tough ones. One question was, what is your biggest adventure or something?
That was so hard.
You
want to
do that one?
Yeah. Don't spoil it.
I put three options, so I don't know what you're going to pick.
I'm going to pick one. Okay. What is the most adventurous thing that you've ever done? A. I drank from an open container in Delaware where it was legal to do so from the passenger seat. B. The wave pool at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon. And C, jumped out of a plane at 15,000 feet. All right. Delaware passenger seat drinking where it is perfectly legal. Julia, who's that?
Jess.
Okay. Typhoon Lagoon.
Shep.
And jumped out of an airplane.
You.
Wow. Yeah. Did I know you jumped out of an airplane?
I don't know. I didn't.
What year was it?
Probably like 2010.
Would you do it again?
Not that I have kids, no.
I would not go in the wave pool again. That thing rocks you.
The wave pool?
I don't know how ever it was in there acting like it was normal. I thought it was going to die.
Is it like particularly worse than other wave pools?
So I don't know. I haven't been in a lot. They got rid of the one at Darien Lake, right?
They did? I used to love that thing.
It rocks you. It's like 12 feet deep. And then there's just kids in there in little swimmies and like... 20 lifeguards on the side.
You got your Topo Chico. It's just not perfect.
So scary.
Yeah, that must have been a 64-ounce day.
That was fun. Great job, Julia. Yeah. And we'll see you next week.